It was a big week for the NHL. We have the draft. We have trades, free agency, all kinds of crazy stuff going on. So to talk about the NHL, we bring in Brian Compton from NHL.com. Hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm doing better than Mickey Callaway, Lori. How are you?
And you haven't gotten into any fisticuffs or arguments, as far as we know, with Shiro or Lamoriello or any of the others.
I'm a pacifist, 100%.
There you go. All right. So let's start with, so much going on and so much news in the hockey world this week. And starting with the Devils, and the biggest piece of news, we didn't think that anything could maybe overshadow the draft. And yet the Devils make a big move, pull off a big move and get P.K. Subban and in the trade. And what does Subban bring to the Devils?
He brings everything, Lori. This is a home run. To stick to baseball for a second here, it's unbelievable what Ray Shiro accomplished this weekend. You knew that they were essentially going to take Jack Hughes. Obviously, it was down to Hughes and Capo Caco 1-2 at the draft. Mm-hmm. But to get Jack Hughes and then to go out and get P.K. Subban, who is probably the most energetic, enthusiastic, charismatic player in the National Hockey League for essentially nothing. It's no disrespect to Steven Santini or mm-hmm. Jeremy Davies or, these second-round picks down the road, but this is an enormous coup for the Devils, no question.
Now, were you surprised he was able to pull off a move like this?
Well, there was smoke around PK that he could potentially get traded. He is making $9 million for a few more years here, but he was great in Nashville too, Lori. He brought so much to the city of Nashville after coming over from Montreal, and everything he did for the Canadiens prior to that trade, donating $10 million to the Montreal Children's Hospital. But just what he's going to bring to the Devils here, Lori. They do play in Newark. Mm-hmm. What he could potentially do for youth hockey there. This is a home run all around for the Devils.
Yeah, and as you say, for a place like Newark and for our entire area, we are such a diverse community in New York City, and the face of hockey, I can't help, looking at it and saying, whether it's P.K. Subban and having somebody who is a person of color now as a star athlete, star hockey player in our area, and then even, I admit, as somebody who's Jewish, I'm looking at Jack Hughes, the first draft pick with the Devils, and saying, this guy's Jewish. We don't have that many of them. And so the Devils suddenly got, to me, a lot more interesting and a lot more fun, as from a rooting and fan and interest perspective. Let's switch to Jack Hughes and say, I think in a lot of ways, as you said, it was between two options, and maybe the worst kept secret was that the Devils would likely take Jack Hughes first overall. So give us the scouting report for a casual fan. What's the scouting report on Jack Hughes?
Well, I think personality-wise, he's very mature beyond his years. If you watch the draft Friday night, mm-hmm. a lot of these kids get interviewed right after they're selected, and they don't say a whole lot. And it's not because they're boring or anything like that. It's because they're 18 years old. They're still kids at the end of the day. But this kid is very polished, and he's so dynamic. He's already a very good two-way player. And I think the biggest thing for Jack Hughes, Lori, is he alleviates so much pressure off a kid like Nico Hischier, mm-hmm. who is already a fantastic two-way center. So you have these two guys leading the way up front for the Devils. And, Taylor Hall's obviously very excited not only to add Hughes to the mix, but obviously to get P.K. Subban too. So now the chances of a guy like Taylor Hall signing an extension here, Lori, again, just going back to what I've been saying ad nauseum here, this is the Devils really hit a home run this weekend, and Jack Hughes is going to be a fantastic player for a long time.
When can Devils fans expect to see Jack Hughes skating for the big club? Is that a foregone conclusion? It's going to be opening day this year?
Yeah, no doubt. Okay. No doubt. I think he and Kako for sure will be NHL players this October. And after that, once you get to, there's a few years where, the top five usually can play in the NHL in October, but this could be one of those drafts where they might be the only two players playing in the league this year.
Oh, all right. Interesting. All right. So what did you think? Obviously, we've got Jack Hughes sitting there. We know Shiro made a big splash in Subban, but the rest of the Devils draft overall, anything stand out to you and impressions overall of the rest of the draft?
No, Lori, it's such a, like I was saying, it's such a crapshoot once you get past the top five per se. The Islanders obviously took Simon Holmstrom at 23 and, You know, he might be a decent player for the Islanders down the road, but you're not going to see a lot of these guys for at minimum 3 years at best. How well does the Devils do after Jack Hughes? I really can't say. Again, we're not going to find out for a few years here.
All right, we're talking to Brian Compton from NHL.com about a big week in the NHL. Let's switch to the Rangers. And, you know, as we said, this was sort of this draft was a tale of two players, and you couldn't go wrong whichever direction you went in. Devils go Hughes, Rangers go with the other big name in Kako, and, you know, not a big surprise at all there. And give us the scouting report on Kaapo Kakko.
A power forward, an electric power forward. And the name alone, right, is just so fit for Broadway. He's going to be a lot of fun. The Rangers really struck
El Kaapo.
Here.
Can't you see it right now? El Kaapo? I mean, come on.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I spoke with Kevin Shattenkirk in New York City yesterday, and he's obviously very excited to add a kid like this to the mix. And, you know, let's not forget adding Jacob Trouba to the mix last week, Laurie. He's going to be fantastic. And I think he's going to be fantastic for Kevin Shattenkirk as well. Just alleviating some pressure off of him. But getting back to Kakko, this is a kid who's going to step right in. How good is he going to be in his rookie year? It's tough to say, but he's been playing against men for a while here, so he could probably get 15 to 20 goals as a rookie, I would think.
All right, that's a bold call there, but big expectations for both of these top draft picks. What did you think overall then of the rest of the Rangers draft? I know, I understand it's after the top two, we don't know, but overall, did you like the work they did?
Yeah, it seems that way. And, you know, Jeff Gordon didn't pull any punches about, you know, 15, 16 months ago, whenever it was, that they're in a full-blown rebuild. You know, he traded Zuccarello and, you know, Kevin Hayes, you know, guys like that. But this can be accelerated now. Adding a guy like Kakko and Jacob Trouba, getting him from Winnipeg, they could be in the mix here for a playoff spot this season, Lordy. I really like their chances. You know, Hank is going to be driven even at 37. He's, you know, are they going to win the Stanley Cup? No. But are they going to be one of the bottom feeders in the league? I don't see that either. So I think the Rangers could surprise some people this year.
Which would be a pretty fast rebuild.
Yeah.
And turnaround if they restore him to the playoffs. All right, we're going to switch to the Islanders. But before we do, you mentioned Kevin Shattenkirk. And I think so often it's really easy, you know, especially on a day when obviously we're talking negativity about the Mets. And, you know, we talk negativity about players. I thought I saw on social media that Shattenkirk, you mentioned you saw him yesterday, that Shattenkirk was involved with some charitable, it looked like, work. You want to just tell us, you know, what was going on there?
It was a Rennie jam. It was at Versa, which is a part of the Renaissance Hotel there on 35th Street. It was him and Islanders captain, at least for another week here, Andrews Lee. They raised thousands and thousands of dollars for pediatric cancer research, which is obviously a very noble cause. So Anders was the guy who started it, and Kevin saw it on Twitter, and he actually told me he had no relationship with Anders Lee. He actually DM'd him on Twitter just to see how he could get involved. And lo and behold, they hold a fantastic charity event there in New York yesterday. It was great.
Yeah, just I think we always focus on the negative. So when people, a lot of times, so many of these athletes actually are good people, take a moment to do that. All right, so the name, the 800-pound gorilla skater in the Islanders room, you just said it, the Islanders captain, Anders Lee. And all right, so how confident are you that the Islanders are going to bring their captain back?
Well, we sat down for probably 5 or 6 minutes yesterday, Laurie, and I was always pretty confident that this was a foregone conclusion that he's going to stay. I'm not convinced anymore. He wouldn't use the word upset, but just looking in his eyes, you could tell that he can't believe that, and he said this, that he can't believe that it's gotten to this point. And I don't know if he spoke with other teams today, but the window opened this morning. So I would think teams like the Minnesota Wild, where that's his hometown, and the Chicago Blackhawks, where his wife is from and where they got married last year. I think those teams right off the bat come to mind that would be interested in Anders' services here. So having said that, he said multiple times he's still very interested in staying. He wants to stay. He was humbled and honored to be named the 15th captain in franchise history last October. So is it a slam dunk that he's staying? Absolutely not. And like I said, he's very disappointed that it's gotten to this point.
What's the, obviously the holdup is always money. Everything is always, you know, if you know, no matter what the question is, the answer is money. But what is the sticking points here, and can you see a way? Tell us a place where a deal could get done.
You know what, Lori? I don't think it's the money. I think it's the term. I think it's the years. He's going to be 29 on July the 3rd. I would think that if he gets to July 1st, that one of these teams is going to offer him 7 years, which is the max as a UFA, as opposed to 8 years here in New York. I don't know if Lou Lamoriello wants to pay him $7 million per, just guessing here what the salary is going to be, until he's 37 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that they're very willing to give him 5 or 6. But I'm sure Neil Sheehy, who Andrews' his agent, is saying he's going to get 7 on the open market. So you at least have to give us that. So we'll see where this goes over the course of the next week. But it would be a huge blow. You know, I just being on Twitter these past few days, you know, the fan base seems to think that he's easily replaceable. That's not the case, Lori. I know he went from 40 goals to 28 without John Tavares, but this was a team that was learning a new system under Barry Trotz, way more defensive minded than the year before. His leadership is off the charts. His maturity is off the charts. If they lose Anders Lee, I think it's going to be a devastating blow for the Islanders.
All right, and you mentioned before the Islanders draft, but overall, switching to their draft, what was your impression of, you know, your assessment of the Islanders draft, and do you have a favorite pick or most interesting pick from the draft?
Well, yeah, I think Holmstrom is the most intriguing pick because he was supposed to go in the second round, and he went to the Islanders at 23, and just, you know, I haven't seen a whole lot of this kid, to be honest with you, Lori, but it sounds like he had a hip and a thumb injury over the course of this past season, and had that not happened, it sounds like he could have gone in the top 15. So I think the Islanders are taking a bit of a risk here that they think that everything is fine and he could be a dynamic player, and he said to the media at the draft that the injuries are behind him and he's ready to go. So, again, this is going to be one of those guys where we won't know how the Islanders did for a few years here.
All right, and in terms of overall, if you look around the league, anybody else's draft kind of stand out to you as being particularly interesting one way or another?
Not really, and I think the biggest takeaway from Friday night, at least, Lori, is how quiet it was. And I don't know if that's because we didn't know what the salary cap was going to be until Saturday, mm-hmm. So GMs were relatively quiet on Friday, and obviously things picked up big time Saturday with PK Subban going to the Devils, but overall, it was a pretty quiet draft. I know the Kings took Alex Turcotte at number 5. Everybody seems to think he could be a pretty dynamic player down the road. But again, like we were saying a few minutes ago, this could be one of those drafts where it's just the first two picks who play in the NHL this coming year.
All right, final question before I let you go. I know that when you're not covering the NHL, the National Hockey League, professionally, you are actually personally a Mets fan. So, but just a question, as somebody who has been around a lot of locker rooms and media rooms and press conferences and covered teams, have you seen the kind of dynamic, you know, in a locker room, in a clubhouse, like what we just are hearing went on Sunday with the Mets?
No, I personally, you know, in a locker room, I've never seen what, you know, I'm just going off of Twitter, obviously, wasn't in Chicago today. I don't know what went down, but
allegedly.
Allegedly, but
there were a ton of eyewitnesses, and unfortunately for the Mets, those eyewitnesses, the power of the pen, those eyewitnesses are you know, members of the media who can write about it. And apparently, you know, you have the manager cursing out a writer.
You know, Lori, to put the tape recorder down for a second and put my Met hat on, I have no idea what's going on there anymore. I mean, this should have been taken care of a month ago when they got swept by the Marlins.
Yep.
To continue to go down this path, to make Dave Island, who's won 2 World Series rings as a pitching coach, the scapegoat here. I don't know what they're doing here. I'm not sure they know what they're doing here. But something's got to get resolved one way, though. This is a black eye on the organization, no question.
All right. Always, always appreciate the time. Brian Compton, we'll catch up with you soon.
Anytime, Lori. Thanks for having me. Take care.
All right.